The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Shut off that engine.
That's a 20 footer.
25. 3 tons on them.
That's a clip from the movie that brought Steven Spielberg to global attention, Jaws, released in 1975, and it was a summer blockbuster, which, by the way, is our theme this week for Inside Hollywood. I'm joined by Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, this was a massive hit.
Huge. And in many respects, it's considered to be the first summer blockbuster when people talk about it as a cultural phenomenon. But the term has actually gone back to probably around the 1950s. It comes from the name of a World War II bomb, which is a lot less pleasant than the type of movies that we're going to be talking about. But I think it was actually first used to describe Ben-Hur. Jaws is generally considered kind of in modern terms and as we understand it as a highly anticipated sort of production that's released in May, June, July or August that just packs out the cinemas during the summer months.
Now, this one is extraordinary because it is a summer movie. We're talking about Amity and people are on the beach and then suddenly and it did for summer bathing, I suspect, what Psycho did for showering.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's such a funny one to think that people would have, you know, maybe perhaps in less good weather, be leaving the beach to go to a cinema in 1975 to watch a film that would absolutely put the terror of God into them to be revisiting the beach again. But there you have it. I mean, and of course, it's so brilliantly done with that score by John Williams.
Yeah.
The score is wonderful. The score is wonderful. And funny enough, John Williams was quite insistent about this particular score. He wanted it to sound like a thriller. And Steven Spielberg has said since that it actually redefined how he thought about the movie and how he thought about the story when he was making the film once he heard the John Williams score. But John Williams is no stranger to summer blockbusters. He actually features on the score of a number of films that we're talking about today.
Now, the extraordinary thing is that they had difficulty in making the shark, the artificial shark, look authentic. So we don't see that much of the shark. And the music of John Williams is there. Every time you hear that boo, 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 you know the shark is supposed to be somewhere around. So it's a wonderful piece of cinematography by Spielberg under his direction that you don't see that much of the terrible thing that's terrifying us.
Yeah, it's a great device. So the music, as you say, Pat, almost becomes the shark so that you feel its presence through the sound. And it's such a clever thing to do because you're right. They did famously have so much trouble. I think Steven Spielberg and another guy actually broke the very expensive animatronic shark just messing around and playing with it one day on set. And if you watch the later Jaws films that came out as sequels that he wasn't involved in, the shark gets jankier and jankier and sillier looking and is used more and more as the years go on. And it's funny then when you think about Jurassic Park, which came out in 1973, which was also directed by Steven Spielberg. And that almost goes completely in the other direction. It uses the special effects that were available to him at the time to such extraordinary degree and really redefined how visual effects worked for cinema.
Well, let's have a clip.
It's not possible. Listen, if there's one thing the history of evolution has taught us, it's that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but, there it is.
There it is.
You're implying that a group composed entirely of female animals will breed?
No, I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
A wonderful life finds a way.
So good. So good. Such a brilliant film. I actually remember going to see this in the cinema with my family back in 1993. I was only about 10 at the time. And my brother still holds it over me that I jumped massively at one of the big jump scares with the Tyrannosaurus Rex. But I suppose that's the magic of Hollywood, that those really big moments stay with you. And this film is packed to the gills with them.
And it shows how the development of technology in that less than 20 years from Jaws in 1975 to Jurassic Park in 1993, how things had moved on, so that those dinosaurs and Tyrannosaurus Rex, they all looked very real and authentic.
100%. I mean, there's a cinema historian called Tom Schoen, and he's actually written a book about blockbusters, Blockbuster, how Hollywood learned to stop worrying and love the summer. And he says, in its way, Jurassic Park heralded a revolution in movies as profound as the coming of sound in 1927. And it does mark a turning point, I think, where you see that he you know, Spielberg really used the old school animatronic effects for a lot of the dinosaurs, but he mixed that with the digital cinema effects that are so prevalent now today.
Now, one hardly ever thinks of Spielberg without thinking of the other, at the time, enfant terrible of the movies, and that is George Lucas. And it's to George we turn for our third clip.
There is no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Luke, you do not yet realize your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough! He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
No. No. It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Now, without the benefit of visuals, that sounds like hokum to me.
Well, I think there was a lot of people at the time, Pat, who would have thought it was hokum anyway, but they were very much proved wrong back in 1977 when the cinemas were once again full of people just dying to watch the latest summer blockbuster. And I suppose you can't really have a conversation about summer blockbusters, you know, beginning with Jaws, without featuring Star Wars, because it was only 2 years later. And but the two of them really kind of created this expectation that every summer there would be a film that would sort of take over the cultural consciousness, and that everyone would have seen it and it would become part of the zeitgeist. And Star Wars was very much it. And it's also so different to Jaws and so different to Jurassic Park. So it just goes to show that you can't really put, and I think that's maybe what's gone wrong in more recent years, you can't really put a formula on this so much. A lot of them, if you strip them back, they are quite simple stories, well told. And it doesn't really matter what the world they're building is, as long as the world building is well done.
Now, it's interesting when we look at those summer blockbusters we've talked about so far. Jaws became a sort of a franchise, although Spielberg had nothing to do with the follow-ups. Jurassic Park became quite a lengthy franchise, and Star Wars the longest of them all.
Yes, indeed. I mean, Jurassic Park has been a franchise twice, because, you know, they sort of, when they came back with the more recent ones, they sort of forgot about the earlier sequels that had come out in its history. And you've got loads of other ones, though, that were more kind of standalone. Well, actually, now that I'm looking at the list, I mean, Forrest Gump would have been one. Grease would have been one, although that had a sequel. Shrek had a sequel. Now that you say it, Pat, you've really hit on something there, because a lot of them did go on to have sequels. But I suppose that's the nature of any film that makes a lot of money in Hollywood.
I mean, the ones on your list, Mad Max sequel, mm-hmm. Ghostbusters sequel, Top Gun eventually a sequel.
Yeah. Shrek sequel, Guardians of the Galaxy sequel. I think the only one that I can see from my list anyway is Forrest Gump, that hasn't had a sequel I think it was 30 years since it came out. And Back to the Future was another one that I had there. which, but that's an interesting one, I guess, because it was made with the plan for it to have a sequel. They started filming almost straight away. But the rest of them, I suppose, they just saw the opportunity that the huge budget, the huge gross figures, according to the box office offered, and they went on and made follow-ups to them.
Yeah, one of the movies, the only one you mentioned that really doesn't have a sequel is Forrest Gump. But that was interesting technologically as well, because they mixed archival footage with, you know, contemporary footage to mix Forrest Gump into all sorts of scenarios that he couldn't possibly have been at.
That he couldn't have been in, yeah. And it was, and again, it was sort of a quite simple application of the technology that was available to them at the time. They would film, Tom Hanks with actors who were sort of blocked out, like the real people in any scene, and then they would layer them on top of each other, so it looked a bit more seamless, and really extraordinary breadth of situations that they put him in, which was part of the story, and that really hasn't been done to the same extent. I don't know that it could be done to the same extent nowadays. I think people are a lot more wary of that type of technology and the sort of potential for things to be used for misinformation nowadays. But at the time, it was just a really quirky use of the technology that was available to them.
Well, perhaps there will be a sequel called Forrest Trump in time.
Oh,
who knows?
I hope not.
All right, Dee, thank you very much for joining us. Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster on Summer Blockbusters. And I'm sure you have your own particular favourites.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.